Let's just commit the meeting unto the Lord and ask for the Lord's blessing upon the meeting before we come to the Word. Lord, we come again this morning, Lord, and Lord, first of all, Lord, we're mindful, Lord, of who we come before, Lord, and we come before the thrice holy God. We're mindful, Lord, of your presence, Lord, in your tabernacle. We're mindful, Lord, of your presence, Lord, around the table. And now, Lord, we're mindful, Lord, of your presence around the Word. We pray, Lord, above it all, Lord, that you will be glorified. We pray above it all, Lord, that you will be exalted and hand lifted up. We pray, Lord, that souls will be saved this morning, Lord. If there's somebody here, Lord, that doesn't know you, Lord, and just playing church, we pray, Lord, that they'll be saved, Lord. We pray, Lord, for backsliders to be restored. We pray, Lord, for healing of the body, Lord, as people sit on their seats. And we pray, Lord, that you will be glorified and exalted. We ask it in your wonderful name, Lord. Amen. A few weeks ago, on my own again and in my thoughts, and there's a lot of bluster and there's a lot of noise in the world today, as we go to the end of 2024 and we roll into 2025. And there's a lot of travail. There's a lot of anxiousness, depression. There's a lot of worry. And every time you turn a street corner, as it seems, there is an enemy on the street corner, especially against the blood-bought church. And I was thinking to myself, pondering it, and two words came into my head: never defeated. Never defeated. Psalm 146. So I went to Psalm 146 with these two words in my head: never defeated. And Psalm 146 is a psalm that has great substance in it. Psalm 146, it is said to be penned by David. Many scholars say that David penned it, although the Jewish tradition would have it that Haggai penned it with Zechariah after they came out of captivity to rebuild the temple. But most scholars say that David penned Psalm 146. And we're entering the psalm, and the last five psalms all start with "Praise ye the Lord," and they end with "Praise ye the Lord." And I thought of new birth. And I thought of new birth at the mission. And the cry from the new birth. When you come out of your mother's womb, you cried. But you were born again of the Spirit. And you cried, "Praise ye the Lord," when you were saved. And the cry will still be, "Praise ye the Lord," when you leave this life and enter the next. Or it can also be interpreted, "Hallelujah, praise ye the Lord." Or it can be interpreted in the compound word, "Hallel Yah." Sing praises unto Yah. Hallel Yah. Praise ye the Lord. And this psalm starts with "Praise ye the Lord." And the first verse is, "Praise ye the Lord. Praise the Lord, O my soul." And the psalmist calls on his soul. He says, "Hallel Yah, Hallel Yah, sing praises unto Yahweh." It's a good start. It's a good start. And that cry went up at the mission. Hallel Yah, new birth in Christ. And the psalmist starts by encouraging others around him. Be an encourager. If you want people to worship God, you show them how to worship God. You encourage them, and then the fire will catch. But you have to encourage people, and you have to show them how to worship first before they start to worship. Hallel Yah, and encourage them to praise the Lord. The soul is your being. Your being, your everything you are is your soul. And the psalmist says, don't bring your lips, don't bring your mind Don't bring your eyes and your thoughts and your feelings. The psalmist is saying, bring your being and set it on the altar of sacrifice. Set your soul on the altar of sacrifice and sing Hallel Yahweh. That's what he's saying. Your being, everything you are, set it on the altar. The soul, your inner being, all that you are is called by the psalmist to praise God. What is the psalmist saying? The psalmist is saying we have one soul. And since it is a saved soul from eternal wrath, let that soul praise its Savior. You have one soul, so let that one soul praise the Lord. Your being, let your soul praise the Lord. One soul, let it praise God. Come with your heart, your soul, your mind, and your praise unto your Savior. And be a joyful fire. Be a joyful fire. Be a joyful being as you praise and you sing Hallel Yahweh. And you know what will happen? It'll spread. It'll spread like wildfire. You teach and you encourage others. You teach them and you encourage them and show them how to worship God with their very being. With everything they are. Spurgeon said of the verse, I will praise God like the psalmist, and I will put my soul, my being, into the center of the choir. Into the center of the choir. That's what Spurgeon says. And let my whole being, my soul, sing to the heights of the love of the praise of God. And he says, oh, for a well-tuned harp. Nay, rather a sanctified heart, a set-apart heart in the center of the choir. And I love this. If my voice let me down, and my voice lets me down because I'm not a great singer, but I sing out anyway. But you know what Spurgeon said? Spurgeon says this, if my voice let me down, then let my soul magnify God. Your soul won't let you down, especially a blood-bought saved soul. You can't sing, I can't sing either. I'm down there and I don't know what I sound like, but I'll tell you what, I'll sing out anyway. And you see, whenever my voice lets me down, I let my soul magnify God. I say, Lord, I can't really sing that well, but there's my soul. And let my soul magnify God. And let my soul sing Hallel Yahweh. That's what the psalmist is saying. Spurgeon gets it right. Your very being, your soul, before the Lord. George Carpenter, John Trapp, the great Puritan, said this of George Carpenter, a Bavarian from South Germany, being desired by some godly brethren that when he was burning in the fires of martyrdom, that he would give them some sign of his constancy, meaning something or someone that never changes, his constancy. And his brethren were saying to him, see when you go to the stake, to see when they go to burn you, give us a sign. Imagine, give us a sign of your consistency and your faith in God. That's what they were saying. A consistency and give us a sign. Something or someone that never changes. Stays the course and is a rock. And this is what he said. Let this be a sure sign unto you of my faith and perseverance. Faith and perseverance. You need to really get that when you're walking with God. Faith and perseverance like that. You never hear it anymore. Let's come in and sing a song and pull out the sofas and have a cup of coffee and have a jolly up. What a load of rubbish. You're coming before a thrice holy God. He's not the big man in the sky. He's Jehovah. He's Yahweh. Show some respect when you come into the house of God. a thrice holy God. Let this be a sure sign unto you of my faith and perseverance in the truth in Christ, my rock, that so long as I am able to hold open my mouth or to whisper, I will never cease to praise God and to profess his truth, the which also he did. He did it. And what was happening to him? He was burning. He was burning. And while he was burning on the flames of martyrdom, do you know what he done? He sang unto Yahweh. He sang Hallel Yahweh. And he's burning. He's burning. Perseverance in the faith. Perseverance in the faith. What a testimony. What a witness. In verse 2, the psalmist says, while I live, I will praise the Lord. I will sing praises unto my God while I have any being. While I live on the earth, the psalmist is saying, I will praise my God. He's adamant. He's adamant. He's on the rock, Christ Jesus. As my life is saved by God's mercy, then I will use it to glorify his name. He says, I will, twice. He says it at the start and he says it at the end, because his very thoughts are the same. He's not being rocked about like a boat. He's not here, up here one day and down here the next. His thoughts are, I will praise God. And his next thought is, I will praise God as well. There's nothing else there. He's saying, I will praise God all the time. Not just some of the time. I'll praise him. I will praise God. And he encourages others to do the same. When I am no longer a being on earth, and you no longer have your life on this earth, then I'll have a higher being in heaven. There I will sing only praises in heaven. But on earth we sigh and we sing, don't we? We sigh and we sing. Oh, for a tuned heart. Oh, for a tuned heart with God. Speaking to myself that I can sing without sighing. Because when you're in heaven, you'll sing and there'll be no sighing. Why not do it here? The elect, the blood bought. When we lay down our burdens, come into this tabernacle and just say, God, you're under control. Hallel Yahweh. And just sing praises. He knows all your troubles anyway. He knows. He knows where you are this morning. He knows your thoughts. He knows your troubles. He knows what's coming tomorrow that you're worried about. But tomorrow will come and go, and he's still God. Tomorrow will come and go, and he's still God. He's still on the throne. He's still praying for you. You're a great high priest. Come in and worship him. Lay it all down. While I have my being here on earth, let it be filled with adoration for my Savior, for my covenant God. He declares, I have no being apart from God. And that's the reality. For the blood-bought elect, you have no being. God is your all. So why not give him your all? Why not lay yourself on the sacrifice of worship? The sacrifice of praise. I don't understand what's going on, Lord, but anyway, here I am. And I'll place my whole being on the sacrifice. And I'll worship you anyway, because you are my God. No being without Christ. He declares, I have no being apart from my God. I will use my being to honor him. Do you honor God? And I ask myself that question too. Do you honor God with your thoughts, with your voice, with your walk, with your deeds, with your doing? It's a big challenge. And sometimes I have to rein myself in. Yep. Sometimes I have to rein my thoughts in and bring them under the word. Sometimes I have to rein in this tongue. You can go off on one very quick, you know, if you're not careful. And words can't be taken back. You need to be careful how you present yourself, especially if you take his name, because you can't take his name in vain. Taking the Lord's name in vain is not using it as a curse word, although I don't like that. Terrible. It's being professing to be saved. That's taking his name in vain and not living the life. That's taking his name in vain. And it's a challenge to me as well. And you have to be careful with it. He says, I will twice in the verse, because his first thoughts and his second thoughts are worshipping God. In verse 3, put not your trust in princes, nor in the Son of Man, in whom there is no help. And princes don't necessarily mean here a royalty. It means the influential. And you know, sometimes we can all get caught up in it, you know. Oh, he'll sort that out, and she'll do that for you, and he'll do that. No, I don't go to that. I go to my knees, because I'm blood-bought. I go to my knees, and I go to Yahweh, and I'll bring it to Yahweh. Yes, there is people who come into your life, and they help, they're helpers, and God brings them in, and they're helpers. But ultimately, you go to Yahweh. You go to God, who bought your soul. If he bought your soul with his blood, will he not keep your soul? Will he not keep your soul? Of course he will. Do you think he died on that cross, that sacrificial cross, shed his blood, washed you in the blood of his son, that you will be lost? You will never be lost. Never. And you will never be defeated. And never let anybody tell you anything else. You will never be defeated. This corruption will put on incorruption. And this mortal will put on immortality. It says it in God's word. I believe it and it will happen. You will never be in defeat. Never. You may have trials. You may have testings. You may be tempted. Not of God, by the way. But you will never, ever, ever be defeated. Can I say, brother and sister, the grave can't even defeat you. Are you afraid of the grave, Glenn? No. Not at all. Because he is victorious. And he is glorious. And because he is victorious, and because he is glorious, I will be the same. Because I am in Christ. Are you afraid of what's going on in the world today? Not at all. They can rip it up and do what they want. Because Jesus is coming back. I've read the back of the book. I'm on the winning team, as Pastor Ken says. We're on the winning team. Isn't it great? We win. Full stop. Because he won the victory on Calvary's cross. You're in Christ. And you will never, ever, ever suffer defeat. It will never happen. It says in verse 3 also, nor in the Son of Man, in whom there is no help. Man is a helpless being. Helpless being. Don't put your trust in flesh, and don't put your trust in man. A helpless being. In verse 4, his breath goeth forth, he returneth to his earth, and in that very day his thoughts perish. His breath goeth forth, and he returneth to his earth. The psalmist is saying his breath goes from his body, and his body goes to the grave, and his spirit goes one way, and his body the other. The lack of a little air puts man in a grave. And you put your trust in the flesh. The lack of a little air will put you in your grave. Is this something to be trusted? The psalmist is saying. The Spirit of God who gave it and the flesh to the dust out of which it was fashioned. Is this something, the psalmist is saying, is this something that you're trusting in? Because if you're trusting in it, you'll be disappointed. And don't trust in me, by the way, either. That's another thing. Because I could let you down. Don't look at me. Look up. Look to Christ. He'll never let you down. He'll never let you suffer defeat. Who knows what's around the corner? Flashy corruption. Flashy corruption. That's what that is. That's what that is. I'm just a vessel bringing the message. Don't look to me. You look to Christ. There's a lot of people have left churches. He let me down. She let me down. He said this. He said that. I'll tell you what. You're looking in the wrong places. You're looking in the wrong places. Because if your eyes are on Christ, that's it. You'll never be let down and you'll never be disappointed. Keep the focus on Christ. Watch him. Walk with him. Listen to him. Read his word. Pray to him. Bring your troubles. Bring your thoughts. He knows anyway. He's your heavenly Father. Keep your eyes fixed on Christ and not flesh, is what the psalmist is saying. You'll be disappointed if you're looking to flesh. This is a poor creature to trust in, isn't it? A poor old creature that I'll trust in that man there. I'll trust in that priest, or I'll trust in Allah, or I'll trust in that Buddha there. They'll all let you down, every single one of them. It's Christ and Christ alone. It's the cross of Christ. It's the blood of Christ. It's the resurrected Christ. It's your great high priest. He will never let you down. That's who you look to. That's who you focus on. And that's how you get through life. And he'll steer you from this life into eternity. Into eternity. His glorious kingdom. That's what the psalmist is saying. In verse 4, in that very day, his thoughts perish. Imagine. You don't know what a day will bring forth. I'm going to do this. I'm going to do that. I'm going to do the other. When your time's up, your time's up. That's what the psalmist is saying. He's speaking from a life of experience. Man's ambitions, expectations, declarations and boastings are all vanished into thin air when the breath leaves his body. I'm going to do this tomorrow and I'm going to do that and I'm going to do this and that and I'm going to go there and I'm going to do that. You're going to do nothing if Christ takes the breath from your body. He could take my breath now, but that's okay with me. Because I know where I'll be. And that's not because anything that I have done. It's because of what he has done. Your breath. And that's it. That's all you have. Ultimately. So let that breath say Hallel Yahweh. Let it be the case. Hallel Yahweh. That's what the psalmist is saying. All vanishes, all the boastings, all the ambitions, over and done with, into thin air. The body, this earth, and his breath is the man's estate. And is it to be relied on? That's what the psalmist is saying. I think not. In verse 5 of the psalm. Happy is he that hath the God of Jacob for his help, whose hope is in the Lord his God. What a verse of scripture that is. Happy is he that hath the God of Jacob Israel for his help, The God of Jacob, Israel, is the God of covenant. The God of the tried believer, wrestling with God in prayer. The God of Jacob is Jehovah, who appeared unto Moses in the bush, who led the people out of Egypt and through the wilderness. Happy are they that trust in God, for they shall never be ashamed or confused or defeated. Never ashamed, never confused or defeated. Never. It will never be the soul. They shall never be ashamed or confused. His mercy, like himself, endureth throughout all generations. Psalm chapter 1. Psalm chapter 1. It starts off with blessed. Or happy and of great benefits. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. He shall be like a tree, listen, he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper, and you will never be in defeat. God says it, I believe it, but the ungodly are not so, but are like the chaff which the wind driveth away, and you want to put your trust in chaff, don't you? You want to put your trust in chaff. Why would you trust chaff? It's foolish. It's foolish. But you trust in God. He'll plant you like a tree. He'll root you to the rock. And you'll bring forth your fruit in due season to his glory, not to the glory of flesh or this stinking vessel up here. By the way, his glory. It's all about Jesus. It's all about the cross. It's all about the blood. It's all about the redemptive blood of Christ. Hallelujah. Hallel Yahweh. That's what it's all about. In verse 5, happy is he that hath the God of Jacob for his help, whose hope is in the Lord. Whose hope is in the Lord. Where's your hope? Where is your hope as you sit in God's house this morning? Happy in the present and hope for the future. Imagine. Happy in the present and hope for the future. What more could you want? Who places all his hope in Jehovah, who is his God by covenant of blood. The covenant of the blood. I love the blood. You can't speak about the blood. It's very gory. I'll speak about the blood all day long. Because the blood saved my soul. The blood saved your souls. And without the shedding of blood, there is no remission for sin. It's not your priest with the wee curtain pulled confessing your sins. No. It's not blowing yourself up. Christ did it all. I have to do, I have to say, I have to think. No, you don't. It's over, it is finished. Christ said it is finished. All false doctrines leading you to hell. There's only one that will lead you into his glorious kingdom, and that's Christ. How do I do it, Glenn? Come under the blood. There's only one way. There's only one way, and it's Jesus Christ, the Nazarene. That's it. And don't add anything else to it. And anybody that adds anything to that is a liar. They're telling you lies. It's not in that book. It's not on God's word. It's add-ons. It's lies from hell that will lead you to a lost eternity. When others have their hope in flesh, the psalmist says, and are in despair, God's people are settled and sure. settled and sure. That's where you need to get to. We have a supernatural happiness, even in the depths of grief. That's true. I've experienced that. I know that. A supernatural power when you're grieving and you're in deep grief and you're carried along and held up. What is that? There's nothing else can do that, only a supernatural God. And this world can't comprehend that. How do you keep going? He carries you. Because you're grounded and sure and you're on the rock, Christ Jesus. That's how you keep going when trials come. That's how you keep going. In verse 6, the psalmist says, which made heaven and earth, and the sea and all that therein is, which keepeth truth forever. You would be wise, the psalmist is saying, to put your trust in the Creator. Would you not? Would you not? The Creator God. He has made a heaven for us. And I love this. But more importantly, he makes you fit for heaven. He's got a heaven all right. But are you fit for it? You are. But he did it. He did it on the cross. He made you fit for heaven. He redeemed your soul and washed you in the blood. There's a heaven all right. But he made you fit for it. You're not fit yourself. You wanted nothing to do with him. In fact, he called your name. Because you were lost. I was lost. And he called my name. I'll never forget it. And I was on my knees in my tears. Dripping me. See, when I realized what I was before God, I was shaking. A cold sweat. He makes you fit for heaven. But more importantly, he makes you fit for heaven. Praise his name. He preserves us. He preserves you. He looks after you while you're on earth. And he steers you into his glory. His heavenly glory. The psalmist is saying, he who made the seas and can bring us over its troubled waters and into his glory. He made the seas. And if you're going through troubled waters this morning, he'll bring you over them. Because he made them. He made them. And into his glory. He who keeps creation will keep you. His eternal kingdom and glory. The planets and the stars are standing proof of God's wisdom and power. And in him we trust, not flesh. In the storms and the hurricanes of life, we can say the Lord is with us. And he still reigns in the storms. And I love this. He still reigns in the storms and the hurricanes. Just as much as he reigns in the calm of the morning when the sun is rising and the dew is on the grass. You go out to work. Early morning, get the kids to school and you look across the grass. And there's the sun. I go out the back sometimes in the morning and it's cold. And you can see your breath. You can see your breath. And I thank God for my breath. And then I look up at the sun. Because it's nice in the winter. It's nice and bright, isn't it? And you look at the sun. Then you look at the dew and the grass. And you just go, Lord, thank you for another day. Thank you for another day. And I look at the sun and look around me and I go, Lord, you're wonderful. You're wonderful. And then I say, Lord, just keep me today. Just this day. I don't think about tomorrow or whatever. Just see today, Lord. Just get through today. Just get through today. Let's scratch the surface, shall we, of the galaxy, stars. I'm just going to scratch the surface. Our galaxy that Earth is in is called the Milky Way. It's a spiral-shaped galaxy that is spanning more than 100,000 light years. So 100,000 light years. I'm just talking about one galaxy, just this one that you're in. Okay? 100,000 light years. One light year is 6 trillion miles. Are you getting it now? Listen carefully. One light year is 6 trillion miles. Earth is located along one of the galaxy's spirals, one of its arms, about halfway from the center of the galaxy. Our solar system takes about 240 million years to orbit once. Just this galaxy, I'm talking about just this one. There are approximately, and I laugh at this because they don't know. They just don't know. They can't comprehend it. But this is the estimate. It's a big estimate, by the way. When you hear this. There are 200 billion to 2 trillion galaxies. That's what they think. They can't really, don't really know. That can be observed. Now, I'm just talking about being observed. And I look at that and I think to myself, I have no idea. The reality hits you when you look at things like that. I have no idea about God. That's me being honest. I know I'm saved. I know he loves me. I know he died for me. I know he rose again. I know he's at the right hand of the Father. I know he's keeping me. I know he's preserving me. My faith is in him. But reality is, I have no idea about God, the power of God, and his majesty. I have no idea. And do you want to know something? The world doesn't either. And I've just scratched the surface. They have no idea. They can't comprehend God, you see. They try to, but they're confused. They get confused and they trip themselves up. And man's meager mind tries to comprehend God, and you cannot do it. That's why you have to come by faith. That's why you have to come by faith. And don't try and work God out, because you can't. You just can't do it. You just have to step in faith and say, Lord, you've saved me, you love me, you've redeemed me, and you have to walk by faith. You have to go by faith in these matters. In verse 6, the psalmist says, which made heaven and earth and the sea and all that therein is, which keepeth truth forever. The Lord will never permit his promises to fail. You can never be defeated. He is true to his covenant people. He is true to the blood-bought elect. You can never be defeated. He is unmovable and he is unchangeable. You will never be in a defeat. Never. In verse 7 of the psalmist says, which executeth judgment for the oppressed, which giveth food to the hungry, the Lord looseth the prisoner. Which executeth judgment for the oppressed. Our God is a just God. He's the friend of the downtrodden, on the side of the persecuted. He's the friend of the helpless, and we are safe in his hands. He who reigns on high thinks upon us, prays for us, and his thoughts are for our good. Psalm 27, two verses just. Psalm 27, and it says this. In verse 5, it says this in Psalm 27. For in the time of trouble, he shall hide me in his pavilion. In the secret of his tabernacle shall he hide me. He shall set me upon the rock. That pavilion means his hand. So Christ is saying here, the psalmist is saying in Psalm 27, the pavilion is God's hand here. And you are sitting here. And there you are. There. And you want to put your trust in flesh and chaff. You're sitting right there. He loves you. He will never lose you. There's another verse. It's the verse 10 of the Psalm 27. When my father and my mother forsake me, then the Lord will take me up. And that always reminds me of my dad. Because my dad was an orphan. In Mount Norris, in the home. And his parents gave him up. But Jesus didn't give him up. Jesus said, Kelly, I know where you are. You're in that orphanage, Kenny, and I haven't forgot about you, and I'll tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to save you. That's what he said. I'm going to save you. But I'll tell you what, we were all orphans, spiritually speaking. And then you cried, Abba. You cried, Abba, the Aramaic, in your second birth. You were spiritually reborn. You were an orphan. You were lost. You had no heavenly father. And then he came in and he called you by your name, just as he did with my dad in that orphanage. And he cried, Abba, Father. No longer an orphan. No longer an orphan. But in the pavilion of God's hand. That verse is very real. In Psalm 27 and verse 10. When my father and my mother forsake me. And there's many like that. There's many like that. And their fathers and their mothers are forsaking them. And it causes damage. For God's sake, and I mean it reverently, for God's sake, do not forsake your children. Do not forsake your mother and your father. I don't like that person. They did so much to me. I've had to do that myself. Did you ever hate anybody, Glenn? Yes, I did. Yes, I did. I hated that person. And what did you do? I brought it to Jesus. I had to. Because it was killing me. It was eating me up. For God's sake, brothers. For God's sake, sisters. If you are claiming to be blood-bought and a child of God, please do not forsake your children. But to do A, B, C, and D. Okay, I've been there. I've been that age. I was an idiot. I was. But my father and my mother never forsook me. Thank God. They still loved me anyway. When I was unlovable, they still loved me. And the Lord restored the years that the locusts have eaten. Don't forsake your loved ones. Please don't do it. Show them the love of God. Heal the situation. Jesus can heal situations. He's done it in my family. He can come in and he can heal. He can heal. He can restore relationships. Oh, they've done A, B, C, and D. Okay, bring it before God. But show them the love of God. Love one another. Love one another. I know it's tough and it's hard. Love them anyway. Show them the love of God. I'm going to have to stop. Denise, could you tell the children to come up? I'm going to stop there. Time's gone. Never defeated, brother. And never defeated, sister. You will never be in defeat. That's what God told me. I was pondering these matters. I was thinking about things. I was wondering. I was praying. The noise, the bluster. Everything going on. Enemies raising their head at every street corner. Two words for you this morning. You, the blood-bought, you, the elect, never defeated. Praise his name. Thank you.